Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our study of Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. In chapter 2, Paul said he had been crucified with Christ. Are you trying to crucify yourself? Well, if you are, you don't understand what Paul meant. Paul also, in the same context of Galatians 2, said that he died to the law. Are you trying to die to the law? Well, you can die to the law, and you can be crucified with Christ, but the only way to do that is to believe in Jesus Christ to save you for eternity. That's the context here, and that's what Paul means. The New Testament epistles do not tell Christians to try to crucify themselves. Instead, they are told that they have gone to the cross when they believed in Jesus Christ, and they were crucified there. There never has been a Christian who was not crucified with Christ. It's impossible to escape that, because believing in Him unites us to Him and everything that He did on our behalf. I said in our program yesterday that you can't live with Christ until you die with Christ. And you do that by faith in Him. The Bible tells us that Jesus was cursed by the holy law of God when He took the sinner's place and He died according to the law. He died to the law. So Paul is identifying with Christ in this passage when he said, "I have been crucified with Christ." When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are believing that He was crucified, that the law killed Him, and it did it justly, because He deserved to die once He took our sins upon Him. There was no escape. He did this voluntarily. He said He laid down His life by Himself. Nobody forced Him to do it. This was the voluntary Christ who had me in His mind when He laid down His life for His sheep. What a beautiful story of the eternal Christ who came from heaven, sent here to earth to do the will of the Father. And the focus of that will was to save mankind by His own death. But to do that, He would have to take the sins of mankind upon Himself and let the judgment of God fall upon Him, the judgment that belongs to you and to me. He took it. It fell on Him. It was a cruel death. But He was dying because the law killed Him. The law must kill. Cursed is everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law to do it. And you and I have not done everything that the holy law of God demanded. So we are under the curse. But Christ, thank God, became a curse for us. No longer are we under the curse, because the curse fell on Him, and judgment came with it. And now we can be freed by faith in Him. But now I have a question about Galatians 2:20. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live." The question is, how can you be crucified with Christ and yet be alive? It's because of the indwelling Spirit. That Spirit is sent from God, and He takes up residence in everyone who believes. And Paul knew that Christ was living in him. That Spirit is our eternal life. Salvation is more than a promise. It is a person. Within every believer is a divine life. And this makes his body a temple where God dwells. Think of it. What a privilege to have our bodies as the temple of the living God. Yes, Christ lives within the Christian. That's confirmed by Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 3. "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." Now that's a promise. To be hidden with Christ in God is double safety. To be hidden with Christ is safe enough, but to be hidden with Christ in God is double security. As God looks at the believer in Jesus Christ, His wonderful Son, He sees more than a forgiven sinner with a promise of eternal life. Yes, we do have that, but we have more. God sees Christ living in the sinner. He sees that believer as united with Christ and indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. Isn't it a contradiction for me to say, Christ lives in me, and then to try to live by law, the law which demanded death for sin and which killed Christ? Yes, it is a contradiction. And it's a contradiction that humiliates the finished work of Jesus Christ. Why try to live by law that condemns and kills and cannot give life when we have Christ who has given us life, His very life? Apparently, the Apostle Peter did not have all this put together when he was at Antioch and when he left the Gentile table and insisted that only Jewish food was right for Christians. But he had an excuse. He didn't understand everything. And Peter couldn't hold on to some things that were revealed to him. I like to say, he had an excuse for going back to the law. Now, what's your excuse? There is no valid excuse for going back to the law. It's contradictory to everything God is doing today. Now, listen again to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. Note, Paul said, Christ who lives in me. Does He live by law in you? Did we not read in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives, but not after death? And how does Paul now live? By faith in himself to keep the law? No, but by faith in Christ. Read that again, Galatians 2:20. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, not by law, not by the law of God. That's so important to understand. And now we come to Galatians 2:20, the conclusion of the argument and the rebuke of Paul for Peter. Peter was nullifying God's grace. And so Paul writes here in this final passage of chapter 2, I do not nullify the grace of God. He's implying that Peter did nullify it. For if justification were through the law, which Peter was insisting on, then Christ died to no purpose. Well, Peter learned a lesson, I'm sure. God used Paul to teach Peter. You see, Peter was not the head of the church. Christ was the head of the church and still is, and He's in heaven. And He instructed the Apostle Paul by His Spirit how to teach Peter, the leading apostle among the 12. Peter had been nullifying God's grace by insisting that Christians needed to live by the Old Testament law. Don't become a part of that kind of teaching. Don't tolerate it. And if you are in a church where Christians are being told to live by the law, you need to make a decision. And it's a decision I referred to at the beginning of this study. Not today, but when we first began our study of the Epistle to the Galatians, I said, this study may cause you to change churches. I say that because Paul teaches strongly in this epistle that Christians ought to live by grace, not by law, that they are freed of the law, they are dead to the law, that Christ died to the law, and we have been crucified with Christ, and therefore the law has no control over us. And he tells us in this epistle that we should stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made us free and not become entangled again with that law of bondage. What is the context of Galatians chapter 2? It's all about legalism. And that's a perennial problem. And until you understand Galatians 2:19 that says, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God," until you understand that, you're going to have a problem with legalism. Legalism will always plague the church. It is like the weeds in the garden. You uproot them today, but tomorrow there will be more. A major reason, and it's complementary, is the fact that it crops up among those who are serious about living a life pleasing to God. If you want to please God, you are in danger of legalism. When we have desire, commitment, and dedication to live for Jesus Christ, we become high-risk candidates for legalism. Christians who are carnal, who are simply churchgoers, and those who lack desire for the Word of God, do not often face this problem of legalism. Now, what's legalism? It's the attempt to please God through rules, laws, and discipline after coming to Him by grace through faith. It is a departure from the inspired counsel of God. Galatians 2:20 tells us that when Christ was crucified, the believer was crucified, and that faith in Christ unites the believer to Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul claims that he was no longer subject to the demands of that law because he died to it. Now, which Christian would want the law over him when Christ died to get him released from that law? No one who understands Paul's teaching to the Galatians here would want that. And I can imagine that Peter, after getting this rebuke, might have said to Paul, "Why are you telling all of this to me, Paul?" Because you, Peter, have implied to the Gentiles that the law does bring righteousness. If that is true, there was no need for Christ to die. And the New American Standard Version says it very well in Galatians 2:21. It says, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." Did Christ need to die? Yes. Is there any other way to be saved from sin? No. If there were another way, God would not be wise to have sacrificed His Son for us. He went to the cross because there was no other way for men to obtain righteousness from God. The law cannot give it. But God can, and He did, because Christ's death was the purchase price for the righteousness God has given to us as a gift. Don't miss the opportunity to learn more about the Bible. You can do that each Sunday morning. This Bible class, sponsored by the Radio Bible Course, teaches verse by verse at 9:15. This is a class that is open to the public, and it's free. That's 9:15 each Sunday morning. We welcome your letters. If you've never written to let us know that you are a listener, please write, tell us you are a listener. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.